do, what I'd like to do is give you about five challenges to apply, and maybe you take one or two of these or three of them. Maybe you're at a, see, that's the neat thing, is that we're all on this journey of getting to heaven and getting our children to heaven, get our wives to heaven, and other people to join us on that journey. And we're all at different levels and different places. And so some of these may, you've been doing them. I don't want to speak to you like you haven't been doing these things. But some, maybe you need to strengthen, you need to tighten your grip a little bit, or stand up a little straighter in some areas. And so before I do, I like kind of sharing some of these historical things with you. Back in 480 BC, the king of Sparta was preparing to take his stand with his Greek army against the Persians. And about that time, a Persian envoy arrived, and they urged the king of Sparta to back down because it's so futile to try to resist their huge advance of the Persian army. And so here's what the Persian army commander said. They said, listen, back down because our archers are so numerous. He said that the flight of their arrows darkens the sun. And the king of Sparta said, so much better then, for we shall fight them in the shade. And he died along with his 300 men that day in that fight. You know, I don't know how you're going to go, how you're going to die, how you're going to leave this earth. I hasten it. It doesn't bother me at all. You know, this last trip, I told you I took my oldest daughter, our daughter, she's 19 now, but when she was 16, we took her to Tanzania. But Mason's trip just happened this last summer. We went to South Africa, to Durban on the East Coast over there, and spent 10 days evangelizing. And man, the experiences of that, and getting to see, that's the beauty. It's so worth the time and the support. It's so worth it to take our young people and yourself to a place where they'll beat your door down to hear the gospel. Man, it ain't comfortable over there, although we were pretty comfortable. We were on a beach house right on the Indian Ocean. But anyway, we were still pretty comfortable there. But their lives up in the villages where we're teaching is an incredible experience. And the people in Kingfisher were saying, Steve, aren't you fearful? I mean, that's a 16-hour flight from Atlanta to Joburg over the ocean. I mean, anything could happen. That's exactly right. Anything could happen. Funny thing is, nothing did. Look, I'm back. And they say, aren't you scared of going down and dying? No, I'm not. Death just doesn't bother me at all, because we're not created to stay here. This is not where we're aliens. We're pilgrims. We're sojourners. This is not where I belong. It doesn't bother me, because we have an eternal mindset, don't we? You're not made to stay, guys. Let me give you five things. Number one, you ready? They'll go fast. Let go and move forward. Some of you guys might need to forgive yourself. I urge you to do that. You say, Steve, I've really blown it in some of these areas, and I've got this past. I know. Forgive it. God already has. Why are you holding on to it? Something that he's thrown into the depths of the ocean, and you're still holding on to it and letting it control. Let go and move forward, guys. A man will never stand firm when he's standing on his past mistakes. It doesn't happen that way. And watch this. A man will never stand firm if he's standing on his past achievements. Because then it becomes about you. Listen to what Paul says. Philippians chapter 3. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. I'm pressing on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forward to the things that are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Some of us, guys, we need to let go and move forward in order to stand past mistakes. Guys, keep climbing, keep fighting, keep going. It's pretty sad that we look up some days and God has kept his end. God has a track record. The acts and the facts are always there for him. The facts of God are he is God. He is able. He's always done what's right. And the acts are, look at the Old Testament. Look at your own life in the past. Look at all the things that God, all of the answered prayer, all the things that God's brought you to hear. On purpose, he's kept his end of the deal. He's kept his bargain, right? And it's pretty sad that oftentimes we're the one that stands in the way of us moving forward. Okay, number two. Kurt's probably said this a lot. I'll say it again. Be intentional. Be purposeful. This afternoon, with whatever you do, do things on purpose. Not by default. Nothing by accident. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, right? Everything that we do, you win battles by having a battle plan. We might need to go home, make some changes, but I'm going to tell you, we will not make it to heaven with our wife and our children by accident. You're not going to get up there, guys, and be surprised. That's not how heaven's going to work. You're not going to go and Jesus is going to turn to you and your family and go, enter in, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And you go, oh, I didn't think I would make it. I just didn't think it would happen. People go to heaven on purpose. And they go to hell by accident. That's default. Somebody says, what do I have to do to go to hell? Nothing. You don't have to do anything. Just be you. Live it up. Live it up. Eat. Drink. Be merry. Live it up. Because that's all. That little bit of pseudo-satisfaction, that's all there will be. That's all there will be. You don't have to do anything. Heaven is an intentional place for an intentional people. You've always heard it. It's a prepared place for a prepared. That's exactly right. Preparedness is being intentional, isn't it? It's being purposeful. It's going to happen whether you like it or not. Heaven or hell is going to happen whether we like it or not. I choose. That's why going down on a plane or getting whatever happens to me, guys, I'm fine with it. I'm going to be all right with it. I may hate it for my family or whatever, but we must live intentional lives in order to go to heaven. Okay, number three, pursue Jesus in everything that you do. Pursue Jesus. I'm not questioning your love for him. I have no doubt that you love him. But he's either one of two things for you in your life. He's either a piece of the pie, or he's the hub of the wagon wheel. Nothing else. He's either a piece of the pie, and so is your family, and so is your job, and everything gets a little bit of me. The church is a piece. My hunting is a piece. My fishing is a piece. My portfolio is a piece. And Jesus is a piece. And then you have a church full of churchgoers. A church full of fans. We clap, rah, rah, Jesus, you're the best. But I'm not sacrificing anything. I'm not going to get in the game today. I might get in the game later. 1 foot in, 1 foot out. He's a piece. He's a piece of the pie. And Jesus would go, nope, you can take me out. I'm either the whole pie or I'm nothing. That's why he wants to be the hub. And then I've got my family running out of Jesus, the kingdom, everything. My work, everything comes out of Jesus Christ. My life is not the Church of Christ. My life is not the church. My life is Jesus. And therefore, I love the church. I'm active in the church. But I'll tell you, the church can fail. The church can, they can all, as far as people, it's people, and they're going to fail us, and they're going to hurt us, and things are going to happen. And that's why my life isn't the church. It's Jesus. He is the wheel in the middle of the wheel. He is the center, the hub of my life. Paul said it best, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if he's a piece of the pie, you can't talk that way. For me to live is Jesus today and work tomorrow and whatever I want to put in the blank. And then to die is not gain. That's why Christians dread death. We shouldn't dread death. To die is to, are you listening? To die is to gain. Because Jesus is the hub. Pursue Jesus in everything that you do. It's exactly what the Hebrew writer was saying in Hebrews chapter 12, within that context of the great cloud of witnesses in chapter 11, right? By faith, by faith, by faith. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight of sin that so easily entangles us. Let us run this race with endurance, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the hub of our life. Every single thing. Let me tell you what it'll do to you. If Jesus is a piece of your pie, you'll only talk of him occasionally. And just with certain people. If Jesus is the hub of your life, every conversation goes back to him. Everything has to do with Jesus in my life. That's a pretty good test, isn't it? How many conversations do you have that you don't include Jesus? How many decisions that you make that you don't include Jesus? What do you do with your money that you don't include Jesus? With your career that you don't include Jesus? Well, I can't talk about Jesus in my career. That's baloney. That's United States of America baloney. You've been talked into that. You've been fed garbage. If you can't talk Jesus in your work, you need to find a job. That's what I believe. Paul says, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain, do with me what you want, but you're not shutting me up. I'll obey God rather than man. You're not going to shut me up. Jesus is my everything. So guys, It's not cliche anymore to say pursue Jesus, not in our lives. That's who we are. So may I suggest this? You need to start changing the subject to something that matters. You going to do this or this, this or that next weekend, or the ball game or the weather? Fine, talk about that. But change the subject. It doesn't matter. Your ball team's going to lose, and the weather's going to change. And you may or may not get the deer or the fish. It doesn't matter. Nobody, may I say this? Nobody really cares. They really don't. Yeah, well, I'm trying to build a relationship with them. Great. Start with that. But change the subject to something that actually matters, and that's Jesus, because he's the only thing that matters. That's a pretty good test too, isn't it? If all I'm talking about is the weather and my pains, my aches, my family, my golf game, my computer skills, my whatever it is that I'm talking about, and Jesus is not included on any of that, for me to live is not Jesus, and to die is not gain. I'd rather shoot it straight now than try to fix it later, wouldn't you? Okay, number four. May or may not be totally applicable to all of us, but nevertheless, I'm going to say it because it needs to become applicable maybe at some point. When we talk about all this stuff, there is another person you need to pursue. Not as hard as you pursue Jesus, but you need to pursue your wife. If you don't have a wife, you pursue a wife eventually that loves the Lord. But if you have a wife, listen to this, Proverbs 5. This is right after he says, don't walk down that street. Don't go. I talked to you last night. Don't go down that street, he says. There's a woman who lives down there, and she'll suck your soul right out of you. But instead, drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. Should your springs overflow in the streets? Should you give yourself up to another woman? Your streams of water in public squares? Let them be yours alone, never to be shared with strangers. Never to be shared with strangers. May your fountain be blessed. May you rejoice in the wife of your youth. Pursue her. A loving doe, a graceful deer, may her breasts satisfy you always, and may you ever be intoxicated by her love. Why, my son? You say, oh, there's young men in here. That's weird. He is actually literally talking to his son. This is the very thing our young men need to be hearing. Amen. Oh, we don't say breasts. Yeah, we do. That's, hey guys, you know what's cool? You marry a godly woman, that's a part of the deal. Amen? Don't throw me on the bus, guys. Amen? The breasts are a part of the deal. Pursue her and no one else. That's what he's saying. Why, my son, be intoxicated with another man's wife or even potential wife? Why embrace the bosom of a wayward woman? Pursue your own wife. Show her that she is your first ministry. I've mentioned kids a lot, but I don't want you to get this wrong, because otherwise I'll drag out another lesson. And the lesson is called having children without a wedge, without them being a wedge. I'm a firm believer, because of scriptures like this and others, that we should always parent from the husband and wife relationship, never from the father-mother relationship. Because we're a team. We're one. The two shall become one. And the parenting and everything comes from that team. Let me give you an example. Our children have never I think they start. They tried when they were 2 or 3, and they got defeated so quickly in it that they knew it wasn't even a road. That there were too many roadblocks. They never went and asked Daddy, and since he said no, they went and asked Mama. They never went and asked Mama, and since she said no, then they went and asked Daddy. It never, ever happened, because they realized very quickly that if Mama said no, Daddy said no by default. Because we run everything from a husband and wife team, because eventually the children are going to be gone. That's why the rate of divorce is so high when they're in their 50s. It's because the children are all out of the house, and I got this stranger that I live with, because the children have been in between this deal, this marriage, the whole time, and they've been number one here. Guys, get back to pursuing your wife. She's number one. They're second. No, not above Jesus. It's Jesus and then her. But in this home, she's number one, guys. And they're second. Every single time. And so when we got out of that stage, and it was about 3 years old, when we got out of that stage of sitting in the pew, she was down here and I was down here so we could trap them in. Right? About 3 years old or so, after we beat their butt enough, it was Daddy, and it's always been this way for virtually 21 years now. Daddy, no, husband, wife, children. Not husband, children, wife. We want it in every facet of our lives, whether it's the pew or the car or the marriage bed or wherever it's at. It's husband, wife, children. Our little girl, McKenna, we've always had this kind of game that we'd play. She is so in tune with relationships. So she's always watching me and her mommy. And so I go to the kitchen, I grab my wife, and I just embrace her. And she just comes in there, and she goes like this, tries to get in between us. And I just hold her tighter. And it's this game, but what's the game is real, isn't it? And I'm proving, we're playing, but we're proving that she even as sweet and wonderful, and I'll tell you, I wouldn't give anything for that little girl. She is unbelievable to me, but she will never come between me and my wife, ever. They're not best friends. We're best friends. Okay, number 5. Finish strong today. And when you get up tomorrow, finish strong today. Finish strong. Every single day. Decide right now that I'm going to lay my head down every single day and be okay with dying in my sleep. Call it peace of mind. Total satisfaction with where I am in Jesus. No, it doesn't mean you've been perfect today. That's why you need grace. You need grace this very hour to cover all of your sins and your mistakes and how goofy we are sometimes and how we blow it so often. But guys, because we're in that grace, that we live in that grace and that we're finishing strong every day, then we have the peace. We have the peace of God in our lives. This is why we can say with Paul several different things, like be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts in Christ Jesus. See, we get to say that. Those are our words now. Paul says in his last letter, last words, said, the time of my departure has come. I've already been poured out as a drink offering. That's what kings did on the last day, the last hour of the last day of the party, the week-long party, is that they would all take their drink all together. The party is over. Paul says, I've already been poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. That word for departure in the original language is the loosening of the moors, the loosening of the ropes of the ship. Those are loosened, and I'm sailing off into the sunset. That's the idea. The time of my departure is at hand. Watch this. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. There is therefore laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord God has given to me. And not to me only, but given to all those who await his appearing, who love his appearing. That's us. We have fought the good fight. Finish strong today.